I am the one and the only one. That's what we oftentimes say of ourselves. I am the world to one person, myself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. I am the world to one person, myself. So often we think that the world is outside of ourselves. We think that what goes on outside of ourselves is very important. It's something that we must be aware of, we must be conscious of, we must make right, we must give it our best interest. We must take care of the world around us and bless it and love it and fight for it and argue for it and do nice things for it and be angry for it and all that stuff. And that's not really true. What's true is I am the world to one person, and that's me. Now, when I see somebody around me having an argument, that's me, because I'm aware of that argument. Now, do I say inside of myself, peace, peace, all is peace? And when I do that, all is peace. When I say to myself, well, we had this fellow who called up about healing, and he wanted to have healing, and he kept telling us the problem. We said, you got to stop concentrating on the problem. You have to start concentrating on the system, the symptom, the result that you want, not the symptoms, but the result that you want. And he could not do that. He could not do that. And he kept telling us about the problem. And we said to him, you will enjoy this problem as long as you keep talking about it, as long as you make it yours, because you are the world to your one self. And yourself listens to you. Yourself listens to you and it says, well, if you want to talk about unhappiness, then unhappiness is what we'll give you. So you have lots to talk about. What did the father of the prodigal son say to the son? What was it all about? Did he say, you nasty boy, you naughty child, you irreverent, irrespectable? No, he didn't say any of that stuff. Because that was not who the father was. The father was a wealthy, happy, contented man. His son went off to do his thing, and fathers know that sons are going to do that. But the son came back, and he said, Dad, I goofed. And the father said, I hear nothing. I only know that you're home, and I'm glad to have you home. I'm going to have a big party for you. And he sent the servants out to put new, fresh clothing on him, even as he's walking into the yard. And there he was, decked out in new, fresh clothing, hadn't even had a shower yet. Maybe they gave him a shower on the way, too, I don't know. But anyhow, when he greeted his father, he was not dressed like a person who had lost everything. He was dressed like his father's son, a wealthy young man, healthy in every way, glorious in every way. And then how did he act? He acted that way. Now, the brother, he didn't act that way. He was kind of upset. How come you give to my brother who ran off and blew it the same love that you're giving to me? And the father said, would you want me to be any different? Would you want me not to love your brother because he made a mistake? Or because he did something that didn't work out for him? It probably wasn't a mistake. He just did something that didn't work out for him. The father's personality, the father is the only person in his world. And he would talk to his sons, because they were coming of age and awareness of things, and they would talk to other people that he didn't have control over, and which is okay. But when they came to him, he was always consistent. He was always recognizing that his son was his son. Wonderful, fabulous, glorious, his son. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Can you do that? Can you recognize that everybody in your world is your creation, whether they're your children physically or mentally or spiritually? Everything in your world is your creation. Now, how have you created it? How have you created all these things in your world? Have you created them as being something that's not so cool? Or have you created them as being something that is very cool, very wonderful, very fantastic? How have you created them? Think about that. Think about that, because that's who you are. That's who you are, whatever you created in your world. I am the world to one person, myself. Whatever there is in my world, I am that. We picked up a couple of maps of one of California and one of San Diego area. And as we looked at these maps, what's the first thing we looked for? We looked for Campo. Right, we looked for where we are. And Campo wasn't there, but Lake Marina was. And so we said, ah, we're right next door to Lake Marina there. And that's very close. And it was very, very lovely. Now, why did we look for our place first? Why do we look where we are first? Have you ever opened a phone book and just casually open a new one and find out how you're listed? Why don't you find out how all the other people are listed? You know, there's millions of them in there virtually. Why don't you look and see how they're listed? Because I am the world to one person, myself. You are the most important being in the universe. So you look up your own name. You look up your own expression. You look up who you are. The father of the prodigal son did not look to the other people that the son had been associating with and spending his money on and things. He looked to the son. He says, you are my son. And whatever is past, I don't want to hear anything about it. No, I don't want to hear anything about it. Now stop it. Yeah. And so the son, but dad, no son, there is no past. But dad, no son, there is no past. If you are going to dwell on the past, then you're not my son. My son lives in the now. My son lives in the present tense, positive. My son is a glorious being. He doesn't live in the past. But Dad, if I could tell you a little bit about it, you'd understand what happened. Well, I don't care what happened. All I care is that you woke up and you got a divorce. You woke up and you came home. You woke up and you found that you were no longer where the past was. You are now in the present. And you are awake to who your reality is. Yeah, I guess you're right, Dad. I guess talking about the experiences that I had and how I spent all my money and how I did these things would only make me think about them again. And you want me just to think about the present. Dad, who am I? You are my son. You are associated with me and operating this large estate. You are as important as your brother who stayed home. You are as important as anyone in this family. You are not the black sheep because you went away. You are not an evil person because you had an experience. You're my son. And the past is all forgotten. I know nothing of the past. Should anyone come here to tell me of the past, I would say, that is past. I'm living in the now with my child, with my world, with my creation. That's all that exists for me. Can you experience that? Can you see that? Can you see that if we say that I am the world to myself, to one person, that's me, I am the world, it does not allow for anything else, unless the anything else is who you are. Now, is the prodigal son the prodigal son? No. He is the son of his father, a very wealthy, very fine, very fantastic guy. Is the prodigal son bankrupt? No. He has everything that his father has. Is the prodigal son have any diseases or anything? No. That's all left behind. That's all left behind. Well, what sort of medicine does the father give to the prodigal son for that? By calling him my son without the word prodigal. We say prodigal son because that tells a story like the girl in love and so forth. But there is no prodigal son. There is nobody who makes a mistake. We find ourselves, but we don't make a mistake. Because everything that we ever do is part of our growing up, part of our finding ourselves. You don't say a little boy is terrible because he falls down as he's learning to walk. You stupid kid, you're falling down. You're falling. You don't say that. That's out of line. You say, oh, you're doing great. Come on now. You're doing great. You're fantastic. When he learns to ride a bike, falls over and skins his arms and knees and breaks his nose and stuff, and he does all sorts of terrible things. You don't say, no more bike riding for you. You just don't know how to handle it. You're accident prone. No way. No parent would ever do that to his child or their child, because if they did, the child would be limited forever. When I ground looped my airplane, I was on the ground and one brake didn't work and it went boom, skidding around in the grass. Got grass in the brakes and grass in the wheels and grass in there. And then everybody came running up. They said, you okay? Yep. And they pulled the grass out of the brakes. Now go. Go. Don't stop with that experience as your last flight. Go. They wanted to kill me, you know. No, no. They said, go. And I said, are my brakes all clean? Yep. So I took off and I landed. I took off and landed a number of times, you know, just to get the feel of it and be comfortable. And so that was forgotten. I tell you the story, which I shouldn't even do there, but I tell you the story not because there was nothing wrong with it. It was just I applied the brakes incorrectly. And there are two brakes, and you have to push them both down equally hard. And if you don't, then you'll spin. And I spun. And right around in a circle. Didn't hurt anything. Just got grass in my brake lining and stuff. But pulled it out. Away she went. But you see, you cannot concentrate on that, because then that's how you're going to fly. And you cannot concentrate on the prodigalness of the son, because then he would forever be prodigal. Now the father said, you are my son and you never left. Now, think of this. A woman and her husband have a problem, and one leaves. And then they come back later, and they say, I'm sorry, it was stupid of me to leave. This is the best marriage I've ever had. Then, if they're sincere, the marriage can go on. But if they're not sincere, then this little thing comes up. I suppose you're going to do that again every time you get angry at me. I suppose you're going to do that again whenever something doesn't go right. I suppose you're going to do that. There's no marriage. There's no togetherness. When such a change takes place and they're back together again, there should be no remembrances, no remonstrations of the past, completely free of all. If there's any discussion of the past is up again. And it doesn't work. And it is rare for people who separate to be able to come together. Herb, why are you saying that? That should be quite common. People separate, 50% of the marriages turn into divorces, they say. Because look at the prodigal son. How many of you could be the father of the prodigal son and absolutely ignore the past? And not think, he might do that again. He might do that again. Absolutely ignore the past. That is a tough thing to do. So, if you separated in a marriage or a relationship and you try to get back together again, no way. If you separate, there's always recriminations. There's always anger. There's always, you did this and I did that and we did this and it just won't work, you know. And so, when you plant those seeds, you have trouble. There's a little story I was reading here. It's about a flower. And the flower was in the garden and was getting ready to grow. And as this flower was getting ready to grow, it was trying to decide what kind of a flower it wanted to be. And so it said to itself, I don't want to be violet, because the violet grows too close to the earth. And here's a little story. A little seed lay in the ground and soon began to sprout. Now which of all the flowers around shall I, it mused, come out? The seed could be heard saying, I don't care to be a rose, it has thorns. I have no desire to be a lily, it too, it's too colorless. And I certainly wouldn't want to be a violet, it's too small. And furthermore, it grows too close to the ground. This second verse explains the destiny of our fault-finding seed. And so it criticized each flower, that supercilious seed, until it woke one summer hour. and found itself a weed. So Glenn Van Ekren wrote that. It's a charming little ditty. And you see, this is what we do. When we criticize others, we are criticizing ourselves, our reality. Now, all of you have walked the paths around the campus here. And all of you have seen the thorny, thorny, thorny flowers. And you think to yourself, what beautiful flowers. They're weeds. By all the determination of what a flower is, they're weeds. And then you see the glorious gypsum weed. It's called a weed. And the gypsum weed with a big fluted lily flowers on it. Glorious. Oh, you want to reach out and bring them in and put them in the house. But if you slip your hands over the covering on the stem, you will find that you will be hallucinating. And when cows eat them, they think they can jump off the hillsides and fly away over the moon. That's probably where the cow jumped over the moon came from. But we are only one thing. I am the world to one person, myself. And we don't compare ourselves to anybody. The little weed was comparing itself to others. We don't do that. We want to be like the little skunk in Bambi. And Bambi was learning to smell the flowers. And then he was reaching down to smell a flower. And he said, flower, just as the little skunk stuck up his head. And the skunk says, you can call me flower if you want to. So you see, what's in a name? Whatever we put in a name. What's in an experience in life? Whatever we put in it. Where are you going? I am the world to one person, myself. And that's all that matters. I am the father of the prodigal son. Whatever ideas were prodigal to my world are inconsequential. The only thing that matters is I see everything good and very good, and my son is the greatest. I love you. I love you. I love you.